Growing up in my family, the Three Kings were the only really fun part of the manger scene, as far as I could tell. When we set it up sometime during Advent at my grandparents' house, they and Jesus were the only ones that ever moved around. We always hid Jesus until Christmas Eve, when the baby of the family, which was usually my annoyingly cute little sister, got to place him cherubically in the sight of his Blessed Virgin Mother and totally handsome father. It was very predictable and very precious. But the kings, those were the territory of the older siblings and the older cousins. We got to set those guys up anywhere in the house we wanted to. And they couldn't arrive until Epiphany. That was the only rule. So that meant we could set them up on a totally other table and pretend that they were en route across the globe of our living room. They could move a little bit towards Bethlehem whenever we were over at our grandparents' house. Or we could delegate the responsibility to them if we weren't going to be there. And then on Epiphany, on this day every year, these hairy camel-riding men came arriving by the will of our hands. They were the only dramatic part of that whole box of figurines that we otherwise were not allowed to touch. We called them the Three Kings. Our reading today calls them wise men from the East. The way I was raised, in a very rigidly Episcopal family, we're supposed to put our Christmas decorations away today, the same day that the poor camel riders actually managed to arrive. Now, you're not in trouble with me if you already put them away like yesterday or Friday or the day after Christmas. I won't tell Dan. And you probably already know by now that Dan doesn't really care anyway. I'm also not going to tell the Archbishop of Canterbury, but at this point, I'm pretty sure you don't care about that. But just in case, humor me. Today is the day that something changes. Today is Epiphany. And when we celebrate the Magi coming to pay homage to the baby Jesus. And it's not just a beautiful story, it's also a symbol. The symbol of these men arriving is that Jesus came not only to his own people, his Jewish people, but to all people. As we say in our prayers, every tribe and language and people and nation. This means that even wise men from the East are invited. Even you and I are invited to see. So today we're moving from Christmas and the 12 days of sitting in the adorable and magical Nativity to Epiphany, where we are in a way expected to stand up. Today is the day we're supposed to take our place as bearers, not just viewers, of Christ's light in this world. Today is a day for celebrating that we got the message about the beautiful baby. We got the same message that brought these men from the East, the same message that scared to death the king of Israel, the same one that took angels and a baby and a trough to accomplish. So before we put away our manger scenes, I want to imagine something together. I want us to look at that scene and picture there someone totally unlikely. Someone like Iron Man, maybe, or Arnold Schwarzenegger, or Taylor Swift. I want every crush, like the one we have had here, or the ones we have at home, or the ones we drive by and find ourselves staring at, to have someone stationed there that's not supposed to be there, someone you would think was a joke if you drove by. And this is the reason I want someone shocking and out of place. It's because the Magi, as we have called them, on their camels, in every creche created out of the same material and painted with the same colors as the shepherds and the angels, they were not the same at all. They were very unlike local Jewish shepherds and God's famous angel, Gabriel, because they weren't supposed to be there. The Magi, the wise men, were from a totally different culture. Even though they show up in our scriptures, they had totally different scriptures of their own. They had different important people. They had a totally different calendar. Some scholars say that these men were dream interpreters, which fits into Matthew's gospel very nicely because the first two chapters of Matthew's gospel, God is communicating in dreams with everyone all the time. Other scholars say that these men were astrologers, so they were divining meaning from the stars and the planetary courses. There's a lot of speculation about these men, and there has been for a long time. But whatever we say about them, we have to acknowledge that they were outsiders. They were not invited by angels, like everyone else who shows up. They were not descended of the prophets or the tribes of Israel. The only prediction made about these men was what we heard this morning. It's sort of vague. It's basically saying that God will draw all people to God's self, not just one ethnicity of people, through a baby born at Bethlehem, inviting all of us to show up. So, I think that if we had Malibu Barbie or Justin Bieber arrive at the scene today, roughly the same size and shape as the rest of these quiet, holy figures, it would help us to remember that the wise men weren't meant to be part of the creche that you can get from your grandmother or Macy's. They're meant to remind us that Jesus brought a group out finding him at great risk, at great peril to himself and to them, because they got a sign. The wise men from the east got a sign. For them, it was a star, and it meant to them, go and see who it is who has been born, whom it is who has been born. And though most of us don't understand exactly what they saw or what it meant, we do know that seeing that sign and their trust and their going meant that they had to pass through a land that already had a king, and that king did not like their sign at all. Herod grew very nervous, and we know he grew violent because of these men and their sign. A whole nation of people, it says, all of Jerusalem, all of Israel, grew anxious at these focused, wise, and somehow believable men who saw a sign and stopped at nothing to go after it. We all see signs. We all seem to deal with signs differently. Some of us here wouldn't know a sign if it hit us on the head, or if even if it did, we would ignore it and pretend we didn't see it. But then there's others of us who think that everything's a sign and a message just for us. And that's a sermon for another epiphany, perhaps. But born into the age we are, born now in this era, our calling is different. It's not to divine whether or not the Messiah has been born. And I'm very relieved about that. And you probably are too. But what are the signs for us to find now? We are called to be like these men because we would atrophy if we didn't look for signs of Christ at work among us. And not just look for signs, but to risk something to witness to it. Some of us here have seen a star over Guatemala, and some of us have seen a star over many, many marginalized people in our own city of St. Louis. The people of Emmanuel are showing me, you are showing me, that you know that Christ shows up not only in a beautifully sculpted and sentimentally preserved manger scene. Jesus shows up unlikely and unfitting and full of the light of God. So we would be mistaken if we did not continue to search, like wise men from the east, for that light that we would risk something for. I think it's important to say that it's possible and probable that we have all seen signs and not said anything or done anything. Sometimes we calculate the cost and we think it is not going to be worth it to make this journey. Please let today be a day that you consider the courage of these wise men from the east. Because I believe our God reveals something important to each of us, something that changes the world and makes it better. I believe that it is possible and probable that we will disturb Herods along the way of answering this call and witnessing to this light. We will disturb those whose territory is being defended. for the way it's always been. What's hard for me and for you, for all of us, is to go uphill for something we believe in, because it's easy to stay in our own land where we know the terrain and no one will bother us and we won't be a bother. But the thing is, in times of real darkness in this world, in which there have been times of darkness recently, violence against one another, the thing is, there's also a cost in sitting still. So this season, we are called to bear the light that we have recognized in the sky. We're called to tell each other about it and not rest until we have paid him homage with whatever gifts we have, at whatever cost. So you and I are not Arnold Schwarzenegger or Taylor Swift, and I'm very glad about that. But we are out of place in the pious manger scene. And I think that is all the better, because it means we're all invited from every tribe and language and people and nation to the brightest light in the world, Jesus, Savior of us all. Amen.